Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on November 16th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here on the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, are you with us?
Can you hear me now?
I can, loud and clear, all 4x4.
Okay, good, all right, so it doesn't sound all hollowy. Anyway, I am well. How are you?
Good. I mean, it's been a tumultuous week and a half or so for me, but it's just because, you know, the farmer's market business is tough, Jackie.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
It's yeah. You think those people are making a lot of money. You think, well, they're not making a lot of money, Jackie.
No, I don't know that they necessarily are. I don't know anything about the business, really, but it looks like a lot of hard work.
Right.
And I appreciate the fresh food. You know, I appreciate it,
right?
But I don't think it's any kind of get rich quick scheme. That's for sure. You know, no, it's a lot of hard work. As a matter of fact,
exactly.
As a matter of fact, I mentioned that was the topic of my weekend guide that went out this morning. You know how I always do write a little paragraph, and I had another experience with bad produce recently from a large grocery store chain. And so I just wanted to remind everybody about all the great farmers markets we have in the South Bay. We have a whole bunch of them, you know, and you can get good stuff there as opposed to going into the store who shall not be named and buying a bag of apples that are all rotten or a bag of tangerines that are all dried out. But never mind that. I wanted
the
to
store,
ask you.
The store that shall never be named.
The store that shall never be named. I wanted to happy birthday. How was your day yesterday?
Thank you. Oh, my God. I think Facebook is the greatest birthday invention ever.
Yeah.
Yesterday, because I'm working at home now, I spent hours yesterday connecting with and responding to happy birthday wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Jackie, my situation is kind of unusual because I do have – now, don't tell Facebook, okay? But I do have multiple Facebook personalities.
Ah.
And once upon a time, it was illegal. Then they got, like, softer on it, and now they support it. I actually – when I log out of Facebook, when I log back in, you can see – you know, my two personalities, and I can click on either one and verify and log in. So Facebook is kind of getting on the program with multiple personalities. Maybe you want a business Facebook profile and you want a family profile. Well, anyway,
Wait a minute. Before you move on, when you say you have the multiple personality, is there the evil Joe and then the good Joe?
Well, I wouldn't say evil. I would just say business-minded.
Oh, okay. Well, I have the same thing. I have my personal Jackie Blusher profile, and then I have my business has its own page.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, well, this is different. I actually have a separate login, different email addresses.
Oh, I see.
So it's a completely different, like, set of friends.
So this is
a completely different, yeah.
Is this black, the dark web type of stuff?
Yeah. Is that a comment about me being African American?
No. Oh my God, that's actually pretty good. That's pretty funny. That's funny. Yeah, the dark web. I'm only kidding. I just, you know me. I figure if you have an alias, you're up to no good. You know.
Every time some commentator on national television talks about the dark web, millions of African Americans chuckle to themselves, and/or laugh out loud to their friends. Yeah, we're on the dark web. Yeah, we're on the darky web. You know?
Oh, that's funny. I never even thought of that. Oh, that's funny.
It's an inside joke, and it's funny as heck because, you know, the whole let me go back to my favorite subject. You know, people buy drugs and other paraphernalia online using Bitcoin. No criminal, their salt, would ever use Bitcoin ever again. I don't know. People don't know, but Bitcoin has a public viewable ledger, and the NSA has been mining that thing and correlating it with other data for a decade. I mean, you do anything using Bitcoin that's illegal or, you know, untoward, the government knows about it, like, the next day. It's just ridiculous. There are other cryptocurrencies that the bad people use, but Bitcoin is not anonymous. It's pseudonymous, they say, because every transaction value is tracked. But anyway,
well,
I digress.
Glad you straightened that out. I'm glad you straightened that out. So you woke up yesterday morning, and 2,138 people wish you happy birthday. So you spent the day replying to everybody.
Yeah, because I really wanted to. I mean, this is Jackie. These are people I went to high school with 40 years ago.
Mm.
I think it is the ultimate testament to our modern social media culture. Like the kids today, it's like, yeah, they don't even think about it. For me, it's amazing to be able to connect with people that I played high school football with, people that I was in my high school thespian society with, my old drama instructor from high school, a beautiful, 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 beautiful woman. I just cherish all the communication that I have with her through Facebook. And it's possible because Facebook is there and no other medium telephone would allow me to connect with, I don't know how many hundreds of people that heard about my birthday yesterday. It was amazing.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. I don't know if you've noticed the latest trend in that what people do now, what I'm seeing more and more of is the day after their birthday, they'll come on and they'll say, thank you all for the birthday wishes. Thanks for the love. Thanks for remembering me. It's like one general thank you. I don't think they are responding individually. So you might have a little catching up to do.
I might. But it was wonderful, and thank you for your good birthday wishes, Jackie.
Yeah, you know something? That's like one of the first things I do when I get up in the morning. You know, I check my email. You know, I do stuff on the website, and I go to Facebook, and the first thing I do is check to see whose birthday it is, and I shoot out a bunch. I just shot out about 7 birthday wishes. I have like 7 friends whose all their birthday is today, which is amazing. Yeah, but listen,
yeah.
I got something to tell you. And
what?
If you don't know, I don't know if you already know about this, but you're gonna freak out. So remember last week I called you and I said, hey, Are you going to that DOMA party? You remember
yeah.
And you didn't go, but I did.
No.
And when I got there, they had a Tesla rep there, and you could take a test drive in a Tesla. It was part of the event. They had three different models. And so when I went in, I went over and I said hi to Greg and Rob, and I walked over to the Tesla rep drive it. You know, I'll just take a ride in it, you know. And she's like, okay, so, you know, they take your email, you know, information, blah, 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 your zip code, right, your area, your zip code. And so I took a drive in it, and it was ludicrous, to say the least. It was unbelievable. It was a lot of fun, and I got to do it. You know, I've seen them, I've sat in them, but I've never taken a ride in one. Well, anyway, anybody that took a test drive that night at the event got their name in a raffle to win a Tesla for a weekend.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, for a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. So, guess who won the raffle?
Jackie, are you taking me for a ride in a Tesla?
Isn't that funny? Greg called me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Greg called me. I think it was Tuesday morning. And he says, hey, Jackie, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great, Greg. He goes, well, it's going to get better. I was like, oh. And he said, you won the raffle for the Tesla. And I was like, are you kidding? I screamed, are you kidding me?
John is going to have a fit.
Oh, no, he's actually quite excited. Because as soon as I got off the phone, Greg, I called JB. Because, you see, I wanted JB to go with me to that event just so he could test drive a Tesla. I just wanted him because he's a car guy, you know, he's a car guy. And I wanted him to go with me to that event just to do that. And he was planning on stopping by after work, but he got busy and he couldn't make it. So anyway, we're going to have a Tesla
road trip.
Yeah, I think we are going to do a road trip anyway. So that's the news. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about today. So, and an interesting topic.
Yes,
yeah.
So I have to set this up. I have known this guy for 20 years, and what we did, among all the many other things that we're going to talk about that he does, but what we did for many years in a row was we did the night at the ballpark in Hermosa Beach. They would come and set up the movie projection screen and the movie projector, and we would show a movie, and this was when for the Hermosa Beach Little League, as a fundraiser, we were renting out essentially spaces in the outfield of the Hermosa Beach baseball place field to for people to camp overnight with their kids, and we had food and games. And it's called Night at the Ballpark. It was the most amazing fundraiser and, you know, sort of time to connect with your baseball buddies ever. And Michael was right there and was tremendous and helped us out so much. So we have a South Bay institution with us today. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Well, as you mentioned, a returning guest, Michael Bell. Michael's a South Bay local, and he's the founder and co-owner of Bell Event Services. He grew up in the area, watching it prosper, and wanting to be part of the community, and eventually went to work as an event coordinator for a large production company. Now, about 15 years ago, Michael launched Bell Event Services, utilizing the contacts he'd made over the years. It was a struggle in the beginning and started out of his garage, but has since blossomed into one of the largest event companies in California. Now, Michael prides himself on his amazing team-building strategy and logistical skills and provides his customers with the very best. His unwavering desire to see things through has resulted in the management of many annual events and the regular business of a lot of clients, such as Fiesta Hermosa and Edelbrock's Revved Up for Kids car show, and along with entertainers such as Jim Belushi and Frank Sinatra Jr. Now, a town hall meeting is scheduled tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. at the City Council Chambers to discuss the future direction of Fiesta Hermosa. And this morning, we're going to learn a little bit about why this came up and what's on the agenda. So welcome back to the program, Michael. We're so glad you could join us this morning. I know it was a little last minute when I called you.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Jackie.
Yeah, so so we just heard, I think it was last week, the Friday show, we work with the Manhattan Beach Chamber, and Mark Lips is on the show with us each week. He's the president of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, and he mentioned this to us. This was the first either Joe or I heard about this town hall meeting specifically for Fiesta Hermosa. And then about 3 days ago, I got the flyer by email. Okay, all right, Joe. Joe has to step away for a second. Anyway, so then I got the flyer for the meeting, and I posted it, you know, to my website and stuff. Can you give us the backstory on why they're having this town hall meeting now? What's behind it? Why now?
Well, the main thrust was the contract with the city that the Chamber of Commerce has just concluded, so it was time to renegotiate for the future. And I guess the city has received comments from the residents and the community, both for and against Fiesta, and I guess they felt the need to bring this out and let the community have their input.
Okay, so the city, it's a chamber event, right? Correct? The chamber hosts it, presents it.
Yeah, the chamber puts the event on, has for its entire history, but we do use the city streets, and so we have to get permission from the city, and that's a contract to be out there.
All right. Okay. So the chamber's running it, and from what I understand, it's been the chamber's big moneymaker for the entire year. The Fiesta Hermosa, the income that Fiesta Hermosa produces covers the costs of, I believe, the New Year's Eve, the big New Year's Eve event, and the St. Patrick's Day parade, and other things. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that's exactly the truth. The event really does fund the chamber. The chamber probably couldn't exist just with membership dues. So the Fiesta Hermosa, like other chambers put on events, Fiesta Hermosa's, the Hermosa Chamber's main event for revenue, and it does fund those other events you talk about. And what it also does is it keeps the chamber self-supporting. Many chambers in Southern California are subsidized by their cities, and this
right.
chamber is not. They self-support, and I'm actually proud of that.
And they have been for quite a while. How long has the it used to be called Artes de...
Fiesta de las Artes.
Fiesta de las Artes, yes. So how long has Fiesta Hermosa been going on, regardless of the name?
Over 42 years. So
wow.
I actually remember attending when I was a boy, walking just on what's considered Pier Plaza right now. That's where it started, just that one block area. Back then, that was actually still a drivable street, and it was just a few vendors and a little bit of food and not much else.
Wow. Yeah, I remember when it was a drive street, too. Oh, gosh, I've been around a while. You sign it. What is the contract? How long has the contract been between the city and the chamber for this event? A 10-year thing, a 5-year thing?
They're 3-year contracts generally. So every 3 years, we revisit the event with the city. And this year, they decided to bring it public and let the community have some input.
All right, that's interesting. So, So it's going to be a town hall meeting. Everybody's going to be able to get up and say their piece and what is there going to be a work? Is there a working group, or who takes that information and decides what they're going to do with it?
Well, they've assembled a subcommittee, and it actually consists of right now it's two chamber members, two city council members, and the city manager and the assistant city manager. So right now I believe it's six members. I might be wrong there, but I know that's how many those members are part of it as of now.
Oh, all right.
So,
go ahead.
So they're going to take the information from tonight. Tonight's just for getting input, just to see, feel the flavor of what the community feels about the event. I have a little bit of a concern because there's a group of people out there that feel that the two Fiesta Hermosas, one at the beginning of the summer, Memorial Weekend, and one at the end of the summer, Labor Day Weekend, there are people that don't want that. And if we lost one of the fiestas, that would be a huge financial hit for the chamber. So I'm against it.
Yeah, I would imagine. You know, Joe and I, you know, we work with several of the local chambers. And what a lot of people don't realize, and I've heard – this is interesting because I'm sure you know what's going on in Redondo, right?
Sure.
Yeah, and what most people don't realize is that the chambers exist to support local business, all right? Business. I've actually heard people in Redondo say the chamber isn't doing what's in the best interest of the residents. And I was like, no, but that's not the chamber's job. The chamber's job is to support business. There's a difference there. You got the city to do what's in the best interest. The city council is to do what's in the best interest of the residents. But somebody has to be the mouthpiece for local business. Because, you know, generally business gets attacked on all sides. There's always going to be people, business, which, you know, they don't understand the symbiotic relationship between businesses bringing in taxes to support cities and residents. So what I'm getting from this is that there are a group of people that don't want people, you know, coming to their town. Now, let me ask you something. When you said that about not having it twice a year and just having it once a year, it's a huge event. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to this event. And like me, a lot of people, I'm sure like me, I'll go to one. I won't necessarily go to two. But if you cut it down to one per year, are you going to end up having double the amount of people that would normally come if you cut it back from twice a year?
Well, that would be hard because the event already maxes out the amount of streets
right.
The city gives us, and there's not
right.
really any room to grow. So this is one of the few events I put on where I can say that it really is at its peak, and our problems are usually how to handle the amount of people that are coming instead of
right.
how to promote having more people come. It's a interesting problem.
Yeah. It's not the usual thing. Normally people promote that we got to get more people here. Fiesta Hermosa doesn't have that issue at all. And again, we'll mention again that Bell Events coordinates the Fiesta Hermosa. So you have skin in this game. Do you have any more information on the people that want to cut this back? Do you have any information of what they want to do? Generally, what I find is there are a lot of people out there that just say no, 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 but they don't have an alternative to that no. What do you know about what they want to do?
Well, and in this case, that's not really the case. And I think thanks to social media, I was able to post, my concerns of the event, and I got a lot of feedback. So, and it was actually some of it was helpful. There are some people out there that just plain don't like the event. I understand, we close streets off, and it's an inconvenience. So I do get that. Other people don't like the the flavor of some of the commercial vendors that we bring in. They want it to be all arts and crafts, or they actually want it to be smaller. And what they don't understand is the commercial vendors that come in are actually the ones that really fund the event. They pay much more to be there, and if it wasn't for their participation, the event really, you know, wouldn't be profitable. And that's the problem that we're having.
What do you mean by commercial vendors? Are you talking about food?
It's people that are in our vendor line where the arts and crafts are mainly up and down Hermosa Avenue and Upper Pier Avenue. We mix in manufactured items, you know, like the window and the solar people, or and then there's some others. Sometimes like a Verizon or Ford or Toyota's there. But it's not like the whole event is that way. But it is about 10% of our vendors are commercial vendors. And I'm getting a lot of pushback, you know, not from everybody, but there are people out there that just don't want those kind of vendors there. I don't really understand why that's such a huge problem, because we still have plenty of quality arts and crafts vendors out there. So to me, the event really does appeal to a large audience, and the amount of people that come to the event, to me, proves that.
Yeah, I don't understand why anyone would have an issue with, you know, Verizon or Toyota or I don't understand that. It's not like they're selling drugs. You know what
that's true. I mean, it is a juried event. There is a committee that picks who comes and goes, and so we do weed out some people that want to get in that we just feel would not be appropriate for the event. But you know, I've had one person that's posted on Facebook that he just goes on and on about the mattress guy, and I just don't understand why. I mean, if I had a whole block of mattress guys, I could see the argument. But you know, they're just picking on this mattress guy, and it's, you know, I mean, they're using him as an example, but it's just, I find it interesting that that they're zeroing in on that one thing. And to me, it's almost like that's not really their real reason. It's just that's what they can come up with.
Yeah. No, I understand exactly what you're talking about. People have different agendas. You know, a person may be complaining about the mattress guy maybe because he sells mattresses, you know, or maybe he has a personal grudge, or maybe he had a bad experience with him or something somewhere down the line, and he's out to get the mattress guy, you know, and that could go across the board for anybody. But God knows, you certainly have more than enough arts and crafts there. I mean, you said the commercial was only 10% of it, and it's a huge event. It takes up the whole downtown area.
Well, and it's not just, you know, a bunch of booths out there. We have great entertainment. We have a kiddie area that's hugely successful. We have a free speech area that invites the nonprofits to that they get a free booth. And so so that's, you know, beneficial to their causes. And also the beer garden is a charity beer garden where we bring in the local nonprofits, and they all make money off that event. In fact, just two nights ago at the city council meeting, we presented a $36,000 check to those community nonprofits. And that's, we do that twice a year. And those nonprofits benefit from Fiesta. They need Fiesta just like the chamber needs Fiesta.
So Fiesta is helping out everybody in the community. The nonprofit orgs. Go ahead.
Overwhelmingly, you know, you can't please everybody, and I understand that. And I'm really hoping the town hall meeting tonight focuses more on what people would like to see Fiesta, you know, morph into. You know, I'm okay with change. You know, it shouldn't be the same thing year after year. But the people that just want to kill off an event, to me, that's not a healthy discussion.
Yeah, no, it's not. And something else I believe is the local businesses that actually have storefronts on Hermosa Avenue and Pier Avenue, don't they have first choice of whether or not they want to buy a tent in front of their business? Don't they get like right of first refusal or something of that, like that? Because I know that like Seymour Jewelers, every year they have a tent out in front of their store. Do the local businesses have some priority in this?
Well, they have. Not only do they have priority, but they actually get a free booth in front of their store. So the last thing we want to do is hurt the downtown area, and 99% of those businesses down there really love the event. They tell me it is their best 2 weekends of the year. Now we do give priority to chamber members. So if you're not necessarily on the footprint in the city, you still do have to buy a booth. But if you're a chamber member or you're in the community, you do get priority, because we do try to reach out to and make it a community first event. There's not a whole lot of arts and crafts, suppliers in Hermosa Beach, so obviously we have to go outside.
Right. Right. Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that they not only got right of first refusal, they also get a free booth. That's fantastic. I'm going to take a really, really quick station break here, Michael. You're listening to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, and our guest this morning is Michael Bell from Bell Events. And today we're talking about a town hall meeting, which is scheduled for tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. at the City Council Chambers. It's located at 1315 Valley Drive. And everyone from the community is invited to come down and discuss the future direction of Fiesta Hermosa. It's a big, big tradition in the South Bay. It's put on for 3 days over Memorial Day weekend and Labor Day weekend. It's a huge, hugely successful event. And so this town hall meeting is tonight. And if you have any interest, you wanna have your say, you should show up for it. Michael, who's going to be on the dais for the town hall? Is it going to be the subcommittee, the city council? Who's going to be answering questions if people have questions?
It will be the subcommittee, and I'm not sure if they're going to really answer a lot of questions. Because they don't want – I don't think they want it to become a big debate. I think they're just more interested in hearing what the people have to say. So I might be wrong there. There might be a little bit of questions and answers. I plan to speak. I won't be on the dais, but, I plan to speak myself.
Well, it'll be interesting to say the least. And – as you mentioned earlier, I just wonder, in general, Hermosa is not a big town. About what, 25,000 residents?
That's about right, and it's 1 square mile. So that's your.
It's tiny. Well, as Joe always corrects me, it's like 1.3 square miles or something like that. It's a small town. I get that all the time. It's a small town. Business is generally located in your downtown area. The bulk of the businesses, as you said, the chamber is not supported. They have no financial support from the city. They have been self-sustaining for many, many years, due in large part to Fiesta Hermosa. And I just wonder if people, the residents of Hermosa, realize how much the two Fiesta Hermosas do for the local businesses and the local economies. Like, for instance, so say it is cut back to 1 weekend. Instead of doing it twice in the summer, you cut it back to 1 weekend. What's going to happen? I mean, what will be cut? Because something will be cut.
Well, my biggest fear is, and people have said I'm maybe fear-mongering, but the other events that we do would be the first cut, because the chamber has to survive, and so they have to they would have to use the money to, you know, to keep their own operation going. And the events that we do that fund are funded by Fiesta were events that used to be put on by the city, and during the recession, because of budget cuts, the city canceled New Year's Eve, they canceled the tree lighting, they canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade, and the chamber took all three events on because the community really loves those events. So those are events that are not self-supporting. We wish they were, but we really can make those a community flavor. We don't have to worry about those events being financially successful because we have the advantage of using Fiesta funds for that. So with only one Fiesta, that wouldn't be possible.
Yeah, that's and that happened in towns across America starting, you know, around 2008. The economic collapse and cities just could not afford. They didn't have the budget to put on events. One of the big ones in South Bay, Torrance, city of Torrance, put on fireworks show in Wilson Park for years, very, very popular. And then once, you know, the stuff hit the fan, the city didn't have the budget for it anymore, and they didn't do it. They couldn't do it for a couple of years, and people were screaming. And what it ended up doing was putting more pressure on the other local fireworks events, you know, in other cities, you know, because Torrance stopped doing theirs in Wilson Park. The fireworks down at Rat Beach, like, you know, huge crowds started showing up for that. You know, it affected El Segundo. It affected Redondo. So these things have consequences that range far and wide. That's it's a big deal, and kudos to the chamber for picking it up and running with it. I mean, you know, that's great. I mean, again, as I said, the chamber supports for local business, but in this case, they are doing a ton for the community, right?
Well, I think in that regard, it's a big help. The other thing is the outreach with the nonprofits. Cutting one a year would mean that there's those nonprofits would make half of what they make now. And then also the opportunities that our free speech area offers to those same nonprofits to reach out to the community, and all that would be cut in half. So there's a huge impact that's citywide, and I'm not sure, like you said, if people realize that.
Well, people need to realize it, and I tell you, the St. Patrick's Day parade, I adore it. To me, it's such a classic small town event, with the parade coming marching down Pier Avenue, and it's so much fun. And then I have to tell you, the New Year's Eve event. That is the place to be on New Year's Eve. I've gone a couple of times, and I'll be honest here, I go to the early ball drop. I just can't stay up that late anymore. But you've had Lou Giovanetti and his orchestra, big stage set up at the base of Pier Plaza. That has become a huge event. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Lou does a fantastic job, and you're absolutely right. We do two ball drops because the first one is televised live from Times Square. But we do that for the same reason you just said. Some people, they come out with their families. They don't want to stay out till midnight, so they enjoy the show till 9 o'clock, and then they can go home, and then the event continues on till midnight, where the plaza just grows and grows and grows. And by the time
did I lose Michael? I think I lost Michael. Michael, if you're there, we cannot hear you. Did you hit your mute button? All right. These are the things that happen with live podcasts. I am going to try to call him back and see if we can get him back on the line. All right, just bear with me here. All right, our guest today is Michael Bell from Bell Events, and we're talking about this town hall meeting tonight in her speech. And he's not answering.
You have reached the voicemail box of...
All right, we're going to hang that up. All right, I will try him again in another minute. As we were talking about a town hall meeting tonight in Hermosa Beach at the city council chambers to discuss future direction of Fiesta Hermosa. There are some people that want to make some changes, and they're going to have a town hall meeting tonight so everybody can voice their opinion. It's from 6 to 8 p.m., city council chambers, and we're going to try and get Michael back on. Bear with me. Bear with me. Live, this is what happens during live podcasts.
Jackie, are you there?
Yes, Michael, thank you. Sorry, we dropped off. I did. You were chatting, and I all of a sudden your voice went out, but we're back. Thank you for picking up again. I'm sorry, you have to go back and go back to what you were talking about because I missed some of it.
Okay, I don't know where I left off, but I was just talking about how with the New Year's Eve event, one of the things is the police tell me is even though it's a huge event, it's a very calm event, and they prefer us being out there as opposed to the alternative where it's just a big drunk fest. And I get the same comments with Fiesta Hermosa for the same reason. It's just we are able to provide a different environment instead of like 4th of July where they tell me it's just mayhem.
Yeah, yeah. No, the New Year's Eve event, I think, is one of the – it's one of the best events in the South Bay of the whole year because –
Well,
as
thank
I mentioned,
you.
It really is, and it's family friendly. Lou Giovanetti, they set up the stage at the base of Pier Plaza. You put out hundreds of chairs, and you have the restaurants and shops on either side. Everybody's open for business, but it's a classic family friendly event, and the music is fantastic. Lou is fantastic. And as you were saying, he does the two ball drops, one at 9, one at midnight, so people with young kids, people that don't want to stay out late, can come out, have the full New Year's Eve experience, and then they can be in bed, you know, before midnight. And if you want to stay out a little later, get into more of the nightlife, there's plenty of places along Pier Plaza and up Pier Avenue. We've done that a couple of times where we've had dinner in one of the restaurants. One year we went to Palmia. We made reservations to have dinner at Palmia, and we sat there and enjoyed a great meal and watched as everything was getting set up. And then we moved out to the seating out on the plaza. It's a fantastic event. And I see that
yeah.
Joe has rejoined us. Joe, we've been having
yeah.
a great conversation about the town hall meeting tonight. Michael has been explaining
yeah.
to us how different people, you know, have different input and stuff, and they just want to, you know, see what the options are.
Now I'm back. I have some very tough, hard-hitting questions for Michael Bell.
All right.
Okay, shoot.
All right. Where were you on the night of September 21st?
I don't remember.
Well, you sound like a politician now. I cannot.
Oh no!
I cannot recollect. That's what all the politicians say. But Michael, I'm sorry I had to pull out for a while, but I mean we've been friends and buddies, and you know, at these events till midnight. all the stuff that goes on when you're doing these live community events, the chamber for the longest time, for decades, has been dependent on the income from the Fiesta de las Artes, it used to be called. I don't know what it is, if it's called that still. But it, two times a year, if you cut one of those out, that cuts out like half of the income for the Chamber of Commerce. What political wing of the city is this coming from to cut out half the income for the Chamber of Commerce for the year?
Well, you know, I don't think their intent is that. I don't think they're thinking in those terms. I think they're just thinking that they don't particularly like the event, and so they're thinking, well, you know, why don't we just let them have one? You know, that way it's not like they're completely cutting their heart out. And I think there's a feeling that the event is so profitable that the chamber is can afford to lose a fiesta when in fact they can't, because of the very nature of what they're using the money for, which is, for starters, those three big events that me and Jackie were talking about: the St. Patrick's Day parade, the New Year's Eve concert, and the tree lighting. All three events used to be city events. They are no longer city events. They are not taxpayer funded. They are funded by the chamber, and so the community benefits, and it doesn't cost them anything. And also the community benefits because the chamber is not subsidized by the city, so they stand on their own without taxpayer funds. To me, that is huge.
Right.
It is
huge, and you know, this just smacks of, for lack of a better term, rescue our waterfront. There was a movement in Redondo Beach.
I was trying so hard not to go.
You're
there,
not
Joe.
Going there, Jackie. You're not going there. And it's a group of people in Redondo Beach who are not slow growth. They're just no growth. They don't want any new people coming into the city of Redondo Beach.
They don't want any change. They don't want change.
No change.
And not only that, you know something, and I'm sure this is the case in Hermosa as well, there are people that just have it in for a chamber. They see that a chamber is making money, and they just want it to stop. They call it the money-grubbing chamber and the cronyism and blah, blah, blah. And they don't see the big picture. They are. It's almost like they're socialists and they're against capitalism. I just don't understand it.
Okay, well now, yes, we are accusing them of being socialists, but other than that, we love them. So that's what I'm interested in, Mike. In the last few minutes, okay, thank you. What are the prospects for this meeting tonight? Is there going to be a vocal minority who just doesn't want to be reasonable? What kind of meeting is this going to be?
Well, I hope that that's indeed not what it becomes. To tell you the truth, I really have no idea what to expect. I have reached out to the community, and I have tried to vocalize my concerns and also make sure everybody understands what exactly the benefits a fiesta brings to the community. And so I'm hoping that I was able to get the word out. Obviously, there's going to be some negative comments tonight, and I'm prepared for that. I just hope that that's not all it becomes. I would really like to hear some of the people on social media actually had some really good ideas, you know, that I'd like to, you know, the subcommittee to mull over. And you know, there are some changes. One of the things is maybe if the city does become a little bit more involved and become more of a partner, maybe we don't have to, concentrate on so many commercial vendors. Maybe we could cut that back if we didn't have to pay for every single parking space on the venue for 4 days, and if we didn't have to pay for all the other services that the city charges us for. Now, I understand that, you know, they need to do that, and we're happy to do that, but if they're going to say, well, we don't want you to run the show this way, and if that therefore hurts your bottom line, well, then they need to partner up with us like other cities do. I mean, last night's pier lighting in Manhattan Beach, the chamber didn't pay for that. That was paid for by the city. So, you know, if the city wants to climb on board and help the chamber be successful without Fiesta Hermosa, then, you know, if they're going to tell us how to do the show, then there's got to be some sort of concession.
Well, you know,
the other thing. Problem.
Yeah, you know what it is. You know what happens, and I see it happen in city after city. There's a small group of people that they're not involved in the community. They don't work with any of the organizations. They're not active in the community at all. And they don't like these things. They don't want them. It puts them out. And so they would rather just shut things down and to hell with the rest of the community, you know. And that's pretty much what's happening in Redondo. A small group of people are screaming at the top of their lungs, and they're ruining it for the rest of the people that live here. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And I would hate to see that happen in Hermosa.
Well, I just hope that tonight it's a really – I hope it's a lively discussion. I hope it's a positive discussion. And I don't want to see – I think that one of the reasons why the subcommittee who will be on the dais don't want to answer a lot of questions from the dais is because that would create a debate. And I think tonight they're just looking for input. They want to just see – you know, where does the community stand? And my fear is that the small vocal minority is so vocal that they get the wrong impression. They think that's the majority, and that's what I hope does not happen. I want them to really know what the community feels. And yes, I understand that there's problems with Fiesta. We can't please everybody, but I certainly want to try to please as many as I can.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's very diplomatic of you, Michael.
One thing I wanted to get on the record before we end, and hopefully a lot of people will listen to this show, is that as an urban farmer trying to make a business for myself, a life for myself, growing food for people, Microgreens LA is my company, and I did attend the farmers markets on Friday near Clark Field, and on Wednesday on the Pier Plaza, I am no longer attending either events because they are so poorly attended that I can't make money. Now, it could be that nobody wants to buy my produce because I'm a terrible farmer, but it could be, but I don't know. I mean, other farmers markets I do really well, they're just poorly attended. The two farmers markets in Hermosa Beach are not being supported by the community. And they're not being supported by the chamber because the chamber doesn't have the bandwidth, that is people time, or the money to put into marketing for these events. And now we're going to cut their budget by 50%. It's just crazy, ludicrous. Also, I have to say, Michael, as a suggestion for Fiesta Hermosa, I think there should be a farmer's market section. No leather goods, no jewelry, there's plenty of artwork already, just farmers, just fresh food. I think a component like that in the Fiesta Hermosa would be well received.
Well, I would. Those are the kind of suggestions that if we get tonight that I want to hear and we would consider. Now, the only – just my only fear on just something like that is I don't feel the Plaza Farmers Market is very popular to the farmers for the simple reason that all the other farmers markets that I see, you can pull your truck right up to your booth And then so your all your products right there, and you don't have to schlep everything
right.
from a parking lot and set up a booth. And unfortunately, in the plaza, because they can't pull their trucks up, that's what happens there. And Fiesta would be the same thing. And so I think that would the farmers wouldn't want to be there for that reason. And the other thing, I'm
right.
starting to think, there's so many farmers markets out there that would it really be a benefit? I'm thinking maybe the farmers markets in town aren't well attended because the farmers markets have become saturated. You know, 10 years ago there was maybe, you know, 10 of them in the community, and now there's like 50 of them.
Yeah. It's tough. Tough business. I was talking with Jackie earlier. It's not easy. Support your local farmers market. They're working hard to bring you fresh produce, and it's hard work. They're not.
Well,
it's not
you know,
a get rich quick scheme.
Well, again, like anything, anytime you're trying to set up any kind of a recurring event like a farmers market, I remember this happened in Riviera Village several years ago. They did a farmers market on Fridays from 3 to 7 on Avenue Y, right in the village, and. It wasn't very well attended. So just this year, they switched it up and they moved it to Sunday morning in the Triangle parking lot. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger. It's getting a lot more popular. You know, sometimes logistics are an issue. But again, keeping in mind Hermosa, the city is only how big, Joe?
1.3 miles square.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right, Mike?
Yes.
It's not a huge community.
Not 1.2, Jackie.
Net.
Not 1.2,
1.3. 1.3 square miles. So it's not a huge community. It's a bedroom community, 25,000 people. Two farmers markets may be too much. Maybe they just need one. I know that the one on Valley did very well for years and years and years. I don't know that Friday is taking anything away from it, but maybe a town that size doesn't need two farmers markets. So, you know, that it, you know, and those things can and should be revisited and adjusted accordingly. So that's my two cents.
Boy, that's a political third rail that will fry many politicians.
Joe, you're a better man than me for even having running a farmers market, because you're right, that's a tough business. But I'm glad you're doing it, because actually we love going out to farmers markets and getting fresh produce. It's fun, and it's a great way to get your produce.
Yeah, it is.
And it's fresh. All right, so we gotta wrap this up. I'm just gonna mention this one more time. Tonight, a Hermosa Beach Town Hall scheduled from 6 to 8 p.m. at City Council Chambers. The discussion is about Fiesta Hermosa and the future direction it'll take. And as Michael said, questions won't be answered. They're just looking for feedback from the community and interested parties. Right, Michael?
That's right. I invite everybody to come out. You know, say your piece. You know, positive or negative, we want to hear everyone's comments.
All right.
Well, it's always great to talk with you, Michael. Bell Event Services. Bell Event Services, a icon in the South Bay. I first met Michael when he was working for Conti Productions during the, I think it was 1997, the first Hermosa Film Festival, and we had an amazing time. And looking forward to the next event, Michael. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. It was a great show. I'm sorry I couldn't have been here more. Thank you, Jackie, for carrying the water.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you. All right, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be back tomorrow. Jackie, who's on tomorrow? Oh,
we're gonna have a couple of a new Manhattan Beach Chamber member, Bayview Pediatric Dental. And you know me, when it comes to dental, big topic in my life. So we're gonna learn about dentistry in general, but we're gonna learn about all the advances and stuff made in a pediatric dental. So that should be a very interesting conversation. All right.
Okay. Great. Great. We'll see you all soon. Thank you for joining us today. Bye bye.